There are a number of short readings that I would like to take. And the first one is from the book of Genesis and chapter 22. They will be well-known readings and as brief as possible. The book of Genesis and chapter 22. Verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now the book of Exodus and chapter 15. Exodus and chapter 15. And verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And so on. Now chapter 16 and verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they walk in my law or no. Now we know the story of the manna. The book of Deuteronomy and chapter 13. A little less known passage. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, the book of Judges. It's quite a bit of reading, but I'll not be lengthy. The book of Judges, and I think chapter 2. Judges, and perhaps we'll abbreviate the reading here. Start with chapter 3. Judges chapter 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Verse 4, And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. The last reading is over in the second book of Chronicles, and chapter 32. The second book of Chronicles, and chapter 32. And verse 31. This is a reference to King Hezekiah. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. That seems to be quite a scattered reading, and yet we trust the Lord's blessing and will help in what I want to say upon it. What I want to try and do just for a number of minutes is to leave the auditorium of this school and to take our journey to another school. I have little idea of what the curriculum is in the school here at Burnaby, and I have no knowledge whatsoever of the examinations that are held in this school. But there is a school that we do attend, and I want to speak to you about some of the examinations that are to be found in that school. We all had an entry into it. The moment of conversion, we became, each of us, a son in God's family. At the same moment, we became a student in God's school, as well as becoming a subject in God's kingdom. Having entered into that school, we were immediately embarked upon a course of education. The subjects are very fine. The standards are very high. In the school of God, the subjects do not include chemistry, or physics, or rocket science, or computers. Faithfulness. Patience. Brotherly love. Dependability. Character. Maturity. These are the large subjects in God's college. And he leads his children on from stage to stage and age to age. And he educates them in these great matters. When I was at ordinary secular school, for the greater part I enjoyed it. But the one part that I didn't like so much was the exam. Inevitably and unavoidably they came. Sometimes you were rather pleased with the results. On many occasions you were disappointed. It was fine when you got an A, but when you got an F, it wasn't just so good. We have read an unusual little collection of portions here today in which we are told that God tried. God tempted. God proved certain people or certain groups of people. The translation varies. The Hebrew word is the same. It's used of God testing people on 8 occasions, and I have read 6 of them. And I'm really wondering, dear people today, how are we getting on with God's exam? You see, in ordinary day school, I think that the exams, well, they're for the pupil. And they're for the teacher. But in most cases, the teacher has a fair idea how the pupil will perform. But the exam lets the pupil know exactly where he or she is in the stage of development and in the lessons. God sets exams in life. There's not a person, there's not a Christian in this auditorium today who hasn't been examined. They don't almost come at the end of term. Strange thing is, whatever kind of college God seems to have organized, I have observed as I have watched some of the graduation ceremonies, I've observed that some of the stiffest exams, they seem to come for the best pupil. Some exams are still being sat by people that have been in the school for 40 years. Some exams are faced by a new believer of a few months. But whether earlier or later, we can be sure that every one of us is tested. Sometimes we are not even aware that we are being tested. Sometimes the Lord will put before your face an examination paper in the form of circumstances, and He won't even tell you that it's an exam. But how you react and how you perform will determine the next stage in the school and will show exactly the point of your spiritual development. What about the Moriah exam? I tell you, that was some exam. The man that set that exam had been at many of them. Many of the exams until then he had passed with glowing credits. And he had passed them with marvellous distinctions. He was an A-star pupil in many exams. Take now thy son. It came to pass after this that God did tempt. God did test. God did try. God did prove Abraham, and with his own son. That tenderest tie of human nature. And for a number of years, the affections of the great patriarch had entwined around Isaac the promised seed. He said, take that son, Abraham, put him on the altar, and I will test your commitment. I'm a little nervous to speak about it. It's an exam that I don't think, maybe I haven't hardly even noticed it. It's an exam which, as far as I'm aware, I haven't had to sit yet, at least not very much. But mind you, I have again observed others that did sit it. And I've not been difficult. I didn't mark the paper, and I didn't set the paper. And I'll not be giving the final results. But there have been dear believers, and when they faced the exam of family connection, and will it be the honour of God, or will it be my son? Will I put the claims of God before the tongue of nature? Whether it was someone else's family, no problem. When it came to my family and to my kith and kin, and decisions had to be made and the word of God had to be upheld, there are dear believers that I wouldn't want to be critical, but they waver. I know that you Christians will pray for me, and you pray that if Gilliland ever has to sit the exam of natural relationships, and if God ever tests him, whether blood is thicker than water or the word of God is thicker still, that God will give to me the grace that Abraham had. How did Abraham do when the exam was over? After the three-day session was over, God made a public announcement of the result. The angel of the Lord interrupted the proceedings, and God said, now I know. The test was over, and Abraham emerged a star, because God was first. And the test of commitment, he had passed it with distinction. You know what I'm speaking about. I don't want to go into any more details, but it's a test. When it comes to my family and the assembly, when it comes to my own flesh and blood, or the higher interests of God's kingdom and covenant, I just leave that there. The second test that I want to mention is the test of Marah. There was first of all, as you know, and I've often heard, too much water. Then there was too little water. And then they came to Marah. And the waters were bitter. How did they react? The Bible tells us that God allowed them to be brought into that situation of bitterness to prove them. And with their murmuring and their complaining spirit, I'm afraid to say that unlike their forefather Abraham, they didn't do well. And in the bitter circumstances of their wilderness journey, they began to complain very ungratefully about the circumstances that God had permitted. They said earlier that we will go out for 3 days into the wilderness and we will hold a feast and sacrifice and worship unto the Lord. Here they are 3 days out. And it's anything but worship. Maybe. And again, I'm only walking on untrodden ground as far as I personally am concerned, or largely so. Maybe there's a believer here today, and in your pilgrimage with God, you've been brought to the pool of bitter water. And the taste is unkindly, and you really cannot understand why the Lord has permitted you, in the path of obedience and in the path of His leading, why the Lord has ever allowed you to walk into the bitterness of that bereavement. And the bitterness of that disappointment. And the bitterness of that unemployment. You see, dear believers, let us always keep in mind that God is testing. And if the Moriah test is the test of commitment, the Marah test will be the test of complaining and how we react. You see, God had it all there. There was a tree waiting. The tree didn't grow up in 2 days. If God was going to bring the people to the bitter waters, He had the very solution planted there. Who here can tell? Who knows? The tree might have been there for centuries. But in His foreseeing, gracious providence, God had the answer waiting just right there. And He brought them to the bitter waters to prove their attitude. And then to show how much His providence could supply to sweeten what was first of all undrinkable. There is a hymn writer in an unusual little hymn, and I think he has written words something like this. We thank Thee, Lord, for weary days. When desert springs were dry, and first we learned what depths of need Thy love could satisfy. The test of Moriah, the test of Marah. The third test is the test of manna. God said, I'll give you manna. And He said, I will give you manna to prove you. When Moses reflected upon this test in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, God gave you that miraculous bread to humble thee and to try thee and to prove what was in thine heart. And there they were, stooping down to lift the bread which God had rained. Would they be contented with God's provision? Who would ever have thought that the table which the Lord so graciously spread in the wilderness, who would ever have thought a day would come when the very redeemed people would turn up their nose at the food which God had graciously prescribed? That they would hanker after a different diet? That they would talk about the fare of Egypt? That they would despise the manna and loathe this light bread? God said it'll be a test. You know, God tests us. Even in assembly life, I can see in places, I'm not speaking about Vancouver particularly because I'm not here long enough to know, but I can see many places where God has tested the diet of the assembly. And instead of brethren presenting Christ and the wholesomeness of the pure word of God, the diet has been spiced and supplemented. And some of Egypt's fur is being brought. And tell me, dear people, God is testing us. Are we failing the test and going after these social supplements that he never expected would entertain or nourish his redeemed people? He tested them with the manna. There's another test, because I'm not going to spend long on each one of these. It's a rather unusual test, and it comes in the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses tells the people there, he said, now you'll discover, he said, that there will be times that God will allow a false prophet to arise. And he said he'll dream dreams. He'd be a sensational boy. And he'll show signs. And he'll display omens. He said it'll really be startling and sensational. But you say, why would God allow a prophet like that to arise? In this kindness to his people, would God not keep such a person from ever appearing? Oh, he says, God will allow him to rise to test you. And he said, by the ministry of that very charismatic, sensational gentleman, he said, God will test your discernment. And he will have everything going. And he will mesmerize and hypnotize. And he will captivate the audience. But he said, it will be up to you to put the microscope of discernment to his ministry. And if he takes you away from me, or if his ministry in any way takes you away from the place of the name, God says you will be able to know that his ministry is fraudulent. You know, dear Christians, I can see that many dear believers are gullible. And I hear about believers, and they're going to seminar. And they're listening to these charismatic preachers. And they can certainly entertain audiences. And they can step and strut across stages. But I tell you this. You would listen to them for many a month before they would ever send you to the assembly. You would listen to their marvelous ministry and to their psychology before they would ever have anything to edify or build up the place of the name. Now, many Christians are being taken in. And I tell you, dear people, with all the plethora of available ministry, some of it, I say, charismatic and captivating, I still test a man's ministry. Does it send the Christians after Christ? And does it redirect the energies and channel all the different energies back to the assembly and the place of the name? And if it's a ministry that diverts and drains, well, you just wonder about it all, don't you? Now, he said, God will do that to prove you. And I'm afraid that as far as the nation of Israel is concerned, as far as false prophets were concerned, they failed the exam. And the biggest F has yet to come. Because there's a false prophet going to come, and he will have everything to show. And they will follow him to their shame and their consternation. Dear Christians, let us have discernment. Get away beyond. I know that I'm speaking of. Get beyond the histrionics and the hermeneutics and the homiletics. Get beyond all these externals, and get beyond the stage acting and all the nice show. Get beyond that when it comes to assessing ministry. God would test us, and let us see, where is this leading? And what is this doing? He said, you ask, where will this man's ministry take the people? And he said, then you can decide. The Moriah test. The manna test, the manna test, the ministry test. He brought them into the land. And before he brought them into the land, he drove out all the heathen. Oh, no, he did not. He said, I left some there. Oh, dear. And Lord, why did you do that? He said, I've left in the land some of the Philistines and some of the Jebusites and some of the Hivites and some of the Hittites. He said, I have left just to prove you. And he said, I really want to see that when it comes to fidelity to me and the choosing of a marriage companion, he said, will you obey my word or will you marry some of these? He said, it'll be a test. That's the start of the book of Judges, and of course, I don't need to tell you, dear believers, about how the judges finished. You could hardly believe it. The first judge was a man who married a daughter of Caleb. Thank God for the Othniels. He passed the test. Grade A. What about the final judge of the book? Samson. Samson played around with so many Philistine games and with so many Philistine girls that the poor man ended up in a dungeon. Practically a total failure. He didn't pass the test. I cannot get close to everyone here before me now, but there might be a number of young men contemplating marriage at this conference. Those late teens, 20s, the years of developing adolescence, conflicting emotions, that's a very testing time in life. And I'm sad to say, there have been some whom I have known, and I have said and heard the other brethren say who would have had better discernment than I had, other brethren saying, that's the man for the future. But he didn't pass the marriage test. When it came to marriage, he made a yoke with some Delilah. He made an unequal yoke with some unconverted person. Young ladies and young brethren, one of the biggest tests of your service for God will be the marriage test. And for some reason or another, it seems to me that many who do well, brought into assembly fellowship, seem to do well, have an interest in Bible study. Whatever there is happens when it comes to this test. They seem to jettison every principle that they learned and allow their emotions to carry them away. And God said, I did it to test you. To see would your daughters marry their sons. To see would your sons marry their daughters. And as I've just said, they failed the test miserably. Finally, the Mara test, the Moriah test, the Manna test, the ministry test, the marriage test. The sixth in this matter of God's examinations is the monarchy test. Hezekiah has done well. He has prospered as a king. As a leader, he has become wealthy and significant on the stage of international politics. It wasn't always so. There was a day when that great army of Sennacherib came marching down and bearing upon his kingdom, and Hezekiah was overwhelmed with the heavy odds against him, and he cried to God, and God delivered him. But now he has prospered. And the Babylonians come to give him a get well card. Oh, he says, come in, man. He says, it's lovely of you to come. He said, I'll show you around the whole place. He said, I have no secrets. This kingdom, he said, I share it with you. Hezekiah never dawned that as soon as he was opening the doors to let them in, those very same doors would be opened in a few years to take the children of Israel out. And when the world was against him as a lion, And Sennacherib, no, he cried to the Lord. But when the world came with nice compliments and stroked his ego and boosted his pride, and he became keen for acceptance and wanted to be popular in the big world, he dropped his guard. He made his compromise with visitors from Babylon. He opened the doors. And within a generation or two lost the kingdom. May God help us, dear brethren. You, dear brethren, sure, who am I to speak to you? Forgive me in God's name. Some of you, dear men, that have been leaders amongst the Lord's people and have carried leadership with dignity for many a year before my voice was ever heard or face was ever seen, who am I to speak to you? But can I say, be very careful about the compliments of the world of Babylon. There's a great big world would love to have the cooperation of a people whom the Lord designed should live in separation. Be very careful about opening the doors to let them in, because you could also be opening the doors to let the people out. These are tests. They come to different people. They come at different times. They come in different... Oh, that's it. I don't like the exams. School wasn't too bad, but the exams. You know, God's school is a great college to attend. He's a marvelous teacher. I don't like his exams. May the Lord forgive me for mentioning that. I don't like them. Some pass, some fail. I wouldn't be able to tell you how many exams I have failed. But you know, there's one thing about our God. He always gives resets. And you see, when you miss the paper, he'll maybe give you another term. And he'll let you sit the same paper again. And you see, if you pass the test, whew, I'm waiting for graduation day. Do you see, when graduation day comes, and God will point out to all of us, this lady whose voice was never heard, and she brought up a family and did it well. And God will put the robe of honor on her shoulder. There'll be big graduations. There'll be big compensations. There'll be big rewards. The reason for God's tests are serious. The range of God's tests, very, very wide. The results of God's tests can be alarming, but the rewards for God's exams are eternal for those who pass. And you can pass. There's a man the Apostle Paul wrote about. You know what he said about him? He said, Apelles, approved in Christ. In other words, a grade A man. May God grant us to be preserved, for life's not easy. And who knows what tests are being carried out even this very weekend, in this conference, and in your life just now. We're all under scrutiny. God is testing us for our refinement and our improvement. May he help us so that in his school we may seek to learn the lessons and to graduate for his glory. I trust the Lord will bless this little word.